television. So we have a choice. We can wait a little bit and see if they resolve that, or we can just go ahead. We are audio taping this, but for the television viewers, they won't have audio right now. If we want to start on time, if we want to give it a few more minutes.
Give it a few minutes.
Okay, they're still working on that, but they're telling me that since we are doing the audio, they can overlap it. It won't be perfect for the meeting, but hopefully they're going to resolve what they're working on and they will improve. So I think I'm going to get started so that we can get the evening here and get as many questions asked as possible. So first of all, I want to welcome everybody for coming to this forum. I think it's going to be an exciting evening.
I'm Marsha McClure-Torgerson, for those of you who don't know me. I'm the elected city clerk here in Atascadero, and I've been the city clerk for 14 years. In 2007, after the 2006 election, the city council selected campaign reform and in the improvement of election campaign behavior as two of their top priorities. As a result, they formed a committee, and we called it the Public Trust, a Building Public Trust Committee. It was made up of two council members, the city manager and myself. The city's goals in regards to this, I'll put up on the board here, are to build public trust with the community and the council. The council really wanted to work on improving that relationship. Also to create an environment for the best community leaders to be elected and to improve community relationships. In 2008, this Building Public Trust Committee hired an ethics consultant who we ran workshops with the council and with the community. We started the Nuts and Bolts workshop, and the Nuts and Bolts workshop is the one that I did 2 years ago, and I did it this year also. It was before the nomination period for the election. I held a workshop that just explained to anyone who was interested in the election process what it takes to run for office, what all the paperwork you have to do and everything. And so that I did in 2008, and I did it again this year. Also, the council at that time directed me to work more thoroughly with candidates on fair campaign methods, give them more information about running a fair campaign, and also the hosting this candidate forum. We did this for the first time 2 years ago with the ethics consultant, and so we are doing it again tonight. And so this is really a continuation of that Building Public Trust program. Tonight's goals are to give the public an opportunity to really get to know the candidates, and that's the treasurer candidates and council candidates, and to hear their positions on issues. Also to provide the Atascadero voters with information that they need to elect a treasurer and to elect a council that they can trust. To encourage candidates to focus on policy issues that are facing the city and to conduct honest and fair campaigns. That's the purpose of this forum. Now this city has held other types of forums in previous years, but this type of forum where a city hosts the forum, it is about building public trust, getting as much of the information from the candidates out to the public so that the public can make a decision on election day. Now, if you picked up one of these handouts in the back of the room, it has just some welcome information on the front, but on the back is a copy of the California Code of Fair Campaign Practices. This is a form that all the candidates were given when they came in and decided to run for office. The state requires that I give that out. They are not required to sign it, though. It's voluntary. I can tell you that all of our candidates did sign that form. In signing that form, if you look at it, it talks about, in signing the form, basically they're promising to do a lot of things when they sign that form. They're promising to tell the truth about themselves. They're promising to treat their opponents with respect. They're promising to verify facts before they give them out. They're promising to not mislead the public. They're promising to take responsibility for any mistakes that are made by either themselves or any of their volunteers or staff. And they are keeping a promise to run a fair campaign. So as I said, all these candidates that you'll be hearing from tonight did sign that document. So for tonight, as I said, Sorry, I got back up there a little bit. We have city treasurer candidates, and we also have city council candidates. This is the first time we've had treasurer candidates to be asked questions, so that's going to be, I think, exciting, too. Now, these candidates, all the candidates, are going to be offered the time to give opening statements. And then they're going to answer questions that I ask, and then there'll be closing statements. Now, about the questions. I've had a lot of questions. I know in previous years, the forms that the city is used to, you would get cards in the back of the room, and you'd write down questions you wanted asked, and you'd turn them in, and they would have a stack of cards that they would flip through and ask questions. Because this is a city-sponsored forum, that's not the type of forum that this is. We can't do that because for the city to host it, it has to be neutral and unbiased. And if I take questions that are written and read them, there's no way that I can guarantee that they are neutral and unbiased. So what I have done is I've formed a list of the issues that the council and treasurers will be dealing with in the future if they're elected. I also ask the public to give me information, email me or call me with questions or just issues that they think are important to be addressed. And then I formulated questions from all that information. Then I also reviewed those questions once I was completed with them with two other city clerks from other cities because I wanted someone who wasn't in Atascadero, who wasn't involved in our political process to review them objectively and give me input. And it was very valuable, even more valuable than I thought it would be. It was a very interesting conversation with them. They helped me quite a bit, and I think the questions are very unbiased and neutral. And also, all those questions have been kept confidential. I'm the only one that knows them besides those two other city clerks until tonight. In 2008, when we had the last forum, we had an ethics consultant, as I mentioned, and he moderated the forum, and I assisted him. This year, because of our budget constraints, we aren't hiring that consultant, and so I'm moderating the forum. Now, I am on the ballot this year, and I am running for re-election because I am elected. Yet I'm running unopposed, but because I am elected and I'm on the ballot, I had concerns about moderating this forum. And I did speak with the ethics consultant and other city clerks, including a city clerk from another city that holds forums like this, which is they're very rare. There's very few cities that do. Everybody assured me that they felt that, you know, it was appropriate for me to moderate this forum, and especially the format that I just explained that I'm following. So I am on the ballot, though, and even though unopposed, I'm not going to take any time tonight to have anybody ask me questions. But you are, of course, welcome to ask me questions anytime, either after this forum tonight or call me or email me. And if you have any questions about city clerk or the role or what my desires are as city clerk, I'd be glad to answer them at a later time. Okay, the ground rules for tonight. The only thing I ask of the audience is to be respectful and to listen. Take advantage of this opportunity to hear these people tell you what they're thinking and what they want to do. The candidates have a longer list of ground rules. They're going to need to stick to their time limits. I have told everyone that they have 2 minutes for an opening statement, 2 minutes for questions to answer the questions, and then 2 minutes for closing statements. They also, any question I ask, they'll have a minute to, after they've answered the questions, to rebut any questions, answers that are given by other candidates. However, getting dry already. I already told the candidates that even though they have the 2 minutes and the 1 minute, a lot of times you don't really need the 2 minutes to answer the question, or you might not even want to create a rebuttal. So the less time they take, the more questions I'll be able to ask, especially with the council. There's 5 council members. If they each take 2 minutes to answer a question and a minute to rebuttal the question, that's 15 minutes. So that means for every question, it's going to take 15 minutes if they take the full time. That means only 4 questions per hour. So that, and I have quite a few more questions than that, so I want to be able to ask as many as possible. So I've asked them just to be as concise as possible, but if they need the 2 minutes and the 1 minute, that's fine. But the less time everybody takes, the more questions I'll be able to ask. I'm asking the candidates to address the issues and not attack their opponents, to not twist the facts. They're going to be seated in order as they are on the ballot, so that there's no rhyme or reason by alphabetical or anything like that. It is the order on the ballot. I will ask the questions in rotation, so I'll start with the first question with the first person, come down the row. When the next question starts, I'll start with the second person so that each time everyone will have a chance to be first and or last. The forum is being televised, as we were talking about earlier. And it is being shown live tonight and then going to be rebroadcast during the next few weeks and is also online on our website so that you can see it on your computer also at a later time if you want to do that too. So I'm going to start with our treasurer candidates. So I'm going to introduce David Bentz and Joe Modica. And you two can, Lisa's going to put your names up there and you can sit behind your name and we'll get started. I'll give them a second to get settled. Okay. Opening statements. Again, they have 2 minutes. And when we have these questions, Victoria, my assistant here in the front row, she has two cards in her hand, and when they get down, when they're answering the question, and they are down to a minute and a half, and they have 30 seconds left, she has a stopwatch. She's going to hold up that yellow card so that everybody in the audience and the candidates can see that they have 30 seconds left. So they know it's time to wrap up. If they continue to talk and they haven't finished, after that 30 seconds is up, she will hold up the red card, and everyone will see that's the two-minute deadline or 1 minute, depending on which question we're talking about. And that candidate must stop immediately. Even if they're in the middle of a sentence, they have to just stop talking when that red card goes up. I want everyone to have exactly the same amount of time. So we will start. So, David, I'll start with opening statement for 2 minutes.
Thank you. My name is David Bentz, and I am We the People candidate for the position of city treasurer in Atascadero. I've been married for 32 years, have 3 children, all currently in local colleges, twin boy and girl that's 23 years old, and another son 21 years old. We have lived in Atascadero for 13 years. My children went through elementary school, junior high, and high school in Atascadero. I am the president of Creative Alternative for Learning and Living here in Atascadero. That's a nonprofit organization caring for 24 adult individuals with autism, Down syndrome, cerebral palsy, and other maladies. We have 4 residential homes in the city of Atascadero and a daytime activity center, combined with our corporate offices at 11700 Viejo Camino. I'm currently the vice chairman of the Planning Commission. I own a business called Revenue Allocation Management in Atascadero, dealing with misallocated sales, tax, and property tax recovery for cities in California. I'm a veteran, served in the U.S. Navy, and have an honorable discharge. I've served as the city treasurer of San Juan Capistrano, California, and did not have any funds in the Orange County pool when it went bankrupt. I also did not invest any of the City of Ontario funds or Monterey Park funds in that pool. I saved $145 million on a bond issue. For sewer improvements in Ontario, I am knowledgeable in debt administration, budgets, revenue recovery, and city operations. I participated in negotiations for shopping centers in Ontario and Upland, which included movie theaters, restaurants, clothing stores, electronic businesses, car dealership, and a host of many other businesses. The shopping center in Ontario created 5,000 new jobs in the community. Thank you.
Joe, opening statement.
Well, thanks for this
push the green button. There we go.
Well, thanks for the opportunity for letting me speak this evening. I'm Joe Modica, and I've been a local resident for about 27 years, and I'm running for re-election as treasurer. We raised our family here. We moved up from Los Angeles in the 80s, early 80s, and we own a local business. It's a tax preparation and a financial planning firm. It's a family business. My son and wife work with me. 8 years ago, a friend of mine, Dave Graham, was the city treasurer, and he was coming towards the end of his term, and he was concerned because anyone could be elected to any position, and he was concerned that someone with the wrong temperament or perhaps someone pursuing their own agenda would seek the position. So he asked me to run, which I did. From experience, I know that the city treasurer position is very important, and it makes a big difference in the well-being of the city. The hundreds of thousands of dollars of interest that I earn each year for the city and for the past 8 years is money that supports city business and helps pay salaries. It's a nonpartisan position. This means that the city treasurer is supposed to be independent. Therefore, it has always been my practice to leave council business to the council while I concentrate on my job. What are my qualifications? I'm a certified financial planner and a registered investment advisor. Most people are familiar with CFPs, but probably not many are familiar with registered investment advisor. What that means is that I passed the California testing and education requirements to handle just about any kind of investment, including the types of investments that are permitted by the city. I must meet annual continuing education requirements.
Thank you, Joe. Okay, my first question for treasurers, and at this time, Joe, you will answer first.
Okay.
The role of the city treasurer and the role of the city finance director are very different, yet both roles are critical to the financial success of the city. The finance director's primary role is to manage the city's finances, such as budgets, payroll, and financial reporting, and the primary role of the city treasurer is to manage the city's investments. How will your background and qualifications assist you in managing the city's investments?
Okay, well, the question is asked, like, how would it? But I've been doing it for 8 years, so my background is in financial matters. I'm used to reading balance sheets and income statements and profit and losses. So with that, I can properly look over things that are presented to me by the finance department.
Okay, thank you. David?
Yes, I have 38 years history of employment in cities, all in Southern California, either as a chief financial officer or city manager. Bulk of it is chief financial officer. I've gone through 38 years of audits, reading financial statements right and left, issuing tax allocation bonds, special district bonds, investing the city funds with elected city treasurers as well as being the San Juan Capistrano city treasurer. So I'm very familiar with the duties of what the city treasurer is. It's an independent position that acts as a check and balance on city council and the city staff, because they are independent, they're meant to be independent, and that's what allows them to be independent, is that they're elected by the citizens of Atascadero. So there's a lot of things that the city treasurer in the investment policy that's adopted by the city gives some direction to the director of finance, and so does the city manager. But it's not one, it's one in which you work together to achieve the overall goal of safety, liquidity, and yield on the investment of city funds. Thank you.
Thank you, David. Joe, do you have any comments that you'd like to make within a minute?
No.
Okay. David?
No.
Okay. Thank you. Next question, and this will be David first. The current city investment policy was reviewed in February by the City Council and is reviewed annually. Share your thoughts on the investment policy that we currently have.
Good question. I think that the current investment policy that allows $26 million in the local agency investment fund, it's nothing wrong with the policy, but I think good, wise, prudent choice would be to move some of that money out of the local agency investment fund and put it into other investments so that you spread your risk across a broader range of investments. I noticed that the certificates of deposits, there's 82 certificates of deposits, two of them in the state of California and 80 outside of the state of California. I think it would be better if you could put more investments within the state of California to help the state of California's economy just as much as helping our own economy. I also believe that the treasurer is a very important position for maintaining the financial health of a community, because he is independent and he can bring issues to the public regardless of what other people think. Thank you.
David? I'm sorry, that was David. Joe? You're Joe, sorry.
You want me to answer?
Yes.
Okay. The investment policy of the city is based, so that is premised on the fact that we don't want to have another Orange County. That happened in 1994, I think it was 8 years before I became treasurer. But they don't want any future problems like that. So they decided that you can only invest in certain securities, certain bonds, certain things, and there's a lot of can't-dos on it. As far as, and that's really for the protection of everyone. As far as purchasing CDs in California, the three things that are demanded of the treasurer are that you pursue, first, safety, second, liquidity, and third, yield. What I do is I take them in that order, and I go for the highest yield that I can get. And wherever that is where I go. As long as it's covered by FDIC, in the case of a CD, that's what I do. So if I had to restrict myself to a geographic area, I might have a lower rate of return. So that's why I don't do that.
Okay, thank you. Would you like to have a rebuttal comment?
Yes. On those CDs that are existing in the June report, I noticed where there were about another five or seven that had an equity ratio of below 6%. And the last report before that in March, or the June report, showed that there were four investments that lost interest income because of bank failures. So I think that you need to constantly be looking at the equity ratio. And by the way, the equity ratio is total equity divided by total assets. And that will give you a better indication. And just because our policy says it's 6%, it doesn't necessarily mean you have to stick with that. You can require 12% or 15%, depending on how that bank's financial statements look. And you can get their financial statements directly off of the FDIC webpage.
Thank you. Joe, do you have a rebuttal comment?
Yes. We're not allowed to purchase a CD that is less, that has an equity ratio less than 6%. So when I hear that we did, that's not possible. I never purchased them, and we never bought them.
Okay, thank you. Next question. What specifically distinguishes you from your opponent? In other words, what makes you the more qualified candidate?
Is that me?
That's you. Yes, it is, Joe. Yes, I'm sorry. I've already lost track. Yes.
Okay. I think the biggest thing is that I'm not political or partisan. So I don't come into the job with an agenda. I just do the job. I don't have anything that I'm trying to pursue. I'm not trying for other political office or anything like that. I'm just doing the job, just like I've done for the last 8 years.
Okay, thank you. David?
Yes. My whole campaign is based on me being We the People candidate for city treasurer. And I don't have my own vision. I want to honorably serve the taxpayers of this community in regards to the city's investments. And the city's investments policy is designed to give guidance and to establish limits on the types of investments authorized for city funds and be in accordance with the State of California Government Code sections. It is important to protect principal and provide liquidity to pay current bills than to receive interest. The prudent man rule requires the treasurer to recognize his fiduciary responsibility to invest idle funds in accordance with state law and the city's investment policy. There's a golden rule in investing. The higher the interest rate, the greater the risk. I will be prudent with city funds and adhere to the conditions that are in place for the various types of investments listed in the state codes and the city's investment policy. Thank you.
Joe, do you have any rebuttal comment?
No.
David? Okay, thank you. Okay, now it's time for your closing statements. You have 2 minutes. David?
I'm at a stage in my life in which I want to give back to the community in which I live. And I've raised my family here. We all love this community, and I really want to just serve and do the best job that I can. I have a ton of experience in dealing with financial matters. One city I was in had a $350 million budget with a redevelopment agency budget of $185 million. It had an investment portfolio of $450 million. Believe me, I have the experience in which to do the kind of job that just that needs to be done, but not at any great risk of losing any capital or making zero coupon interest purchases that don't result in any interest income. There's a whole ton of things that have happened. The reports would be on a timely basis and would be in accordance with the existing policy. I just think it's very important that the city treasurer be independent and present those reports to the city council. Thank you.
Thank you, David.
Okay.
Joe?
Some of my closing remarks have already been said, so I'll shorten it up a little bit. Part of my job other than investing is to do a review of the city's books. It's not meant to be an audit or a Sherlock Holmes kind of a thing. We look at the bank statements, the investment statements, and we track them down to make sure things are in order. The city is audited every year by an outside CPA firm. And in my 8 years, we have always received a good report from the audit. We never purchase investments that have zero interest. That would be crazy. How have we done? Well, we've done very well. City finances are in good shape. We're doing much better than some of the other cities in California. Recently, we got a very good bond rating, AA- from Standard & Poor's. It's obviously been a group effort with a council, with a treasurer, with a city manager and the finance department. But when we work together, we work better. And I'm happy to say that my relations with the city council and city staff is excellent. And that is why Jerry Clay, Roberta Fonzi, Ellen Barreau, and Tom O'Malley support me for re-election. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you both for participating in this forum. And so what we'll do now is take just a minute. They will go back and sit here in the audience, and I'll ask the council candidates to go up to the tables, and Lisa will be putting your names where you're sitting so you'll know. Okay, so for everybody in the audience, they're seated in the order that they're going to be on the ballot. So starting on the left is Chuck Ward, then Tom O'Malley, Sandy Jack, Brian Sturdivant, and Brett Heineman. Welcome, everybody. Okay, we're going to start with opening statements. Again, 2 minutes per candidate. And as I let the audience know, I did send the candidates a letter, the council candidates, a letter a few weeks ago explaining what was going to happen tonight. And one of the things I mentioned in the two-minute opening statement, they are allowed to say whatever they want, but I did ask that they also address these questions, or, you know, touch on them at least. And that would be, what are the goals, or what do you hope to accomplish if you're elected, and what your background and qualifications are, and any of your concerns for Atascadero. So I asked them to keep those in mind when they were forming their opening statement. Okay, Chuck, go ahead and begin.
Good evening. My name is Chuck Ward. I've been married to my wonderful wife, Barbara, 45 years, and we have two great boys. My goals as a city council member are pretty straightforward. Number one, to establish a strong and sustainable economic base for the city. The first and most important step is to stem the flow of sales tax and entertainment dollars that are leaving the city every day, every week, every month, and every year. Number two, the Walmart and Annex projects need to move forward in an assertive manner. The city also needs to fully support and build out the Colony Square project. The Galaxy Theater and the Walmart will act as a magnet to attract major family-style restaurants to the city, and this is something we need. The city also needs to promote the zoo and the Veterans Memorial as a tourist destination stop, and when built, a new bowling and family activity center. Now, what are my qualifications? Well, I have a degree in chemical engineering, so what this means is I know how things work. My years as a Marine Corps officer and my 35 years as an international businessman, retiring as a managing director of the corporation I founded, has given me real-world hands-on and business experience. This is tied in with my community involvement with the Purple Heart Trail, the Veterans Memorial. I feel qualified to serve the City Council on a full-time basis during these economically challenging times. My entrepreneurial and let's get it done approach to challenges fits well with the city's goals and objectives. Thank you very much.
Okay, Tom.
Thank you. I am honored to have been elected to my hometown city council twice. Peggy and I were both born in Atascadero, and we own and operate Portola Inn. My dad was one of the first full-time firefighters after starting out as a volunteer here in town. Chuck Paddock, the founder of our zoo, was my Boy Scout leader. I learned that can-do volunteerism from these two men. That is why I was a founding member of the Atascadero Performing Arts Center and a founding member of the Veterans Memorial Foundation with my good friends Chuck Ward and Brian Sturdivant. I have a BA in economics from UCSB, a master's from Cal Poly. I was mayor during the Del Rio Walmart hearings. We are now doing the EIR like I recommended in 2006. I was chair of the redevelopment agency when our city jump-started the Colony Square project and now adding Galaxy Theaters. We're on our way to renovating the zoo and park, all with no new taxes. I was elected chair of the Economic Vitality Corporation countywide. I'm the elected chair of the San Luis Obispo County Council of Governments, made up of the five supervisors in seven cities, where I fought hard for not only our 10141 overpass, which could have been gray concrete, I fought to have that brick facade and those lights. I fought for safe routes to schools like at Santa Rosa School, all again with no new taxes. My goal is to keep our city's momentum. Look at our downtown now compared to 8 years ago. Economic development is our number one priority of our city council and our current city treasurer, Joe Modica. I want to continue to build community consensus. Diversity is our strength, not a weakness. Ellen Barrow and I were the two council members that served on this Building Public Trust Committee. We led to this having this very forum, and we wanted to encourage our city's best to run for public office. Now it's up to you to choose the best for our city.
Thank you, Tom. Sandy?
Good evening, everyone. My name is Sandy Jack, and my goals as a city councilman will be, one, improve our financial situation by doing everything possible to bring about the smooth completion of both the annex and the Walmart projects. The use of innovation to interest new businesses in locating to Atascadero. Number two would be to improve our responsiveness to the needs of our current business customers. Three would be champion the updating of all ordinances, including the sign ordinance. And four, promote a more aggressive timetable in the development of our downtown district and push for a realistic parking solution. I come from a small rural town in Ohio, have five brothers, received my BS in business from Bowling Green State University, my MBA in marketing from California State College at Long Beach. I've traveled to Europe and Orient and extensively in the U.S. I'm married 44 years to Betty Lou, and I have a son and a daughter. I spent 32 years working in private enterprise at Ford Motor Company with assignments in sales, marketing, computers, information technology, financial consulting with Ford and Lincoln Mercury dealers, showing them how to maximize their profit opportunities in their dealership. And I was manager of the Ford's Parts and Service Division office in Salt Lake City, Utah. In 1978, I was elected a San Ramon Fire Commissioner and voted myself out of office by merging with a neighboring fire district. During my 11 years in Atascadero, I have served 3 years on the Parks and Rec Commission, now 3 years on the Planning Commission. My primary concern for Atascadero is its economic survival and ability to become all that it can be once we were out of this economic downturn. Our current city manager has been instrumental in getting us to this point through prudent saving goals, though I believe there is much
more. Thank you,
more.
Sandy. Brian?
Thank you. My name is Brian Sturdivant, and thank you for letting me share my thoughts with you this evening. There's some really great successes going on around Atascadero, and that it really excites me. And Atascadero is on the verge of just something really great. That is why I want to continue to focus on the priorities of the current council that have led us to where we are today. It's a very exciting time. Economic growth is my number one goal, and that's for the long-term health of our community. That is both, I'm very concerned about the existing businesses and ways to promote and bolster their business as well when it comes to what could be signage, it could be parking. There's different things they've told me about, but those are issues that are definitely on my mind. And we will work together as a community on this Walmart development, and we're going to make it something that this community is very proud of. I am a citizen candidate. I am a homeowner. I am married. I've been married to the same wonderful woman for 27 years, and I have four beautiful daughters. I was appointed to the Planning Commission by now Mayor Fonzi back in 2008, and I've served the city in that capacity. I've enjoyed it immensely. I've really enjoyed the process and serving. I've been with PG&E for over 30 years, and my job is to analyze problems and to come up with solutions. And every day my job entails getting things done and in a timely manner and against very strict timelines at times. So that can-do attitude, my ability to listen, and my ability to be fair, I will bring that to the council. I'm very concerned about the economic well-being of our city because it affects jobs and families, our public safety, and it affects the city's day-to-day operations. So Atascadero is on the verge of something great, and I feel that by focusing on the current city council policies and our priorities, we can see great things happen. Thank you.
Thank you, Brian. Brett?
Good evening, everybody. My background is here. I live here with my parents since 1971. And since then, I've attended a local high school and moved on to college, where I majored in electronics technology first and on to got a BA in history and a minor in political science, so I understand our history and our background and where we need to go. Also, our economic development, our goals in the city, we need to continue to with our Walmart projects and our Colony Square project, which will be done very soon, just a matter of time. In addition to that, there's a project east of town would need the support on Highway 41 east, as Caltrans is slowly realigning this road, which will shorten the distance between the Central Coast and the Central Valley, and thus bring more tourists and business into this area in a time efficient and savings of cost and fuel. It's also, there's talk about a local performing arts center in town, which will
30 seconds
eventually be built. But we should not confuse that with the, also there's a measure on the ballot from the school district, measure I-10, which includes a performing arts center, but it's a upgrade for the high school, and let's not confuse the two. And that wraps it up.
Thank you, Brett. Okay, first question. And Tom, you'll be answering this first. This is going to be a pretty easy question to get you guys started, warmed up. I'm going to talk about the city council and its role in the city. Excuse me. The city council, like a board of directors, sets policy for the city and guides its direction. The staff manages the day-to-day operations and implements the policies and programs that are set by the council. So the question is, if elected, what goals or policies would you like staff to implement?
Well, if elected again, I would like the staff to implement the goals and priorities of the city council. That's why we're elected. We will work with our community. We want to build consensus. We give a lot of thought after we receive the input from staff, who do a very good job of researching the issues we're interested in and a good job of bringing potential projects and things to our awareness. But we're the elected body. We have to take the ultimate responsibility for setting priority, setting policy, and following through. And I take responsibility for what we've accomplished in our city and things that we could do better at. I think the staff have done a good job of bringing that information to us. Of course, I want to continue to support staff in the training efforts that they've done. I think they've been very frugal, but we want to continue to support staff.
Thank you. Sandy?
Yes. Having been in management and that during my working life, it's important with an elected city council that, in fact, they take our action, they take the reins, and in fact direct the city's operations, policies, because it's a policy body. Staff and the city council have to work together, and it's one of the things that I like that city council does is the use of the strategic planning session, because they go through, they get a lot of input from the community, and then they itemize and develop their goals, and then they charge city staff with the follow-through and implementation of those goals. One of the things I would like to see done is some benchmark objectives in that established, because not everything that the city staff is going to do is going to be directly involved with the strategic items. There are other things that need to be done, and there are other items that will come up from time to time that will need to be addressed. And I think it's important that the city council is then at the periodic times able to evaluate from an objective rather than a subjective basis. So I would encourage measurable specific goals for the city staff. Thank you.
Thank you, Sandy. Brian?
Our city staff has done an outstanding job in this tough economic time that we have been in with the taking council's direction and with planning, with packages for council and doing what the council asks, as well as the planning commission. And the one thing I would like to see as a goal would be, when it comes to economic development, a lot of times in people's minds, they think of new development. And what I would like to see is a more specific breakdown for existing business, what the issues are for existing business, how we can address that as a council. But overall, I believe the city staff is doing an outstanding job, and I am in full support with the city staff.
Okay, thank you, Brian. Brad?
Yeah, this is, like I said, everyone agrees that the city council has helped set the policy. There were a team of five people that's working together, hopefully working together, and their majority, along with the city staff, is also part of that team, and they give each other directions and advice. Specific policy for get on. That's it.
Okay, thank you. Chuck?
Yes, thank you. As I said earlier, I've had 35 years of business experience in the international world, and in coming to Atascadero and working with the city council here and staff, I've come to realize that this wonderful city of ours is, in effect, a large, complex corporation. I view the Board of Supervisors as the Board of Directors of that corporation, and well-managed corporations have diverse members of their Board of Directors. They have inside and outside. Their directors have balance. I would like to see a little more balance on our Board of Directors, perhaps one or two independent thinkers. And having said that, however, I think this is a great Board of Directors, a wonderful staff. I've worked with both. I support them. And from time to time, they come up with some criticism, but on balance, they are competent, they're professional, and they have the best interests of the city at heart. And if I'm on the Board of Directors, I'll certainly follow through with those policies. Thank you.
Thank you, Chuck. Now, Tom, would you like to give a rebuttal at all?
Well, I'll just say, he was brought up about our strategic planning sessions brought about in the days of Ray Johnson, did a good job with that. And we do have measurable objectives underneath each of our specific goals, and I think that is very important to follow through on. We want to be accountable to the public, and we want to make sure we are being successful at our goals. So we do have those in place, and we may have a chance to elaborate on those later in the program.
Okay, thank you. Sandy, would you like to make any additional comments?
The only comment that I'd like to make is that I think it's time for some new thinking, some new ideas. Someone that has lived and worked outside of the environment of Atascadero, I traveled this for a lot of time during the years, but I have a lot of different ideas and things that I think could assist this city and the city council in moving forward in maybe a little more rapid direction. Thank you.
Thank you, Sandy. Brian?
Yes, and in something that Mr. Ward mentioned about balance on the council, and then Mr. Jack about being outside of the city, having a perspective, actually my perspective, I find being a full-time employee and being outside of the political realm on a 24-hour basis actually gives me quite a good perspective when I come back home and hear about some of the things that are going on. I'm reading about what's going on, studying, and to be able to be removed from it and to be able to come back into it is actually very helpful, and I really appreciate that. So it's a perspective that the working person has.
Thank you. Brett, do you have any additional comments?
Yeah, I had one comment. And if a growth rate of cities, if it averages around 5%, using the rule of 72, we have about, the city has about 14 years before the population of that city will double. It's through natural increase, and that has to be in our planning and policy for the future. We have to accommodate for that, because it will happen whether we want it to happen or not. So we have to have places for people to shop, to keep our money here, and jobs for people to be able to afford to shop and keep the money here. Thank you.
Thank you, Brent. Chuck, do you have any additional comments?
Yes. One thing I've noticed since observing the city council, it is not a part-time job. City council members are on various boards and commissions. They're out. They're doing studies. It's a full-time job. And I'm fully prepared to give it that full-time effort. And it deserves it. And it is something that just takes a lot of time, a lot of study. You see the packets that are presented to the city council members in preparation for the meetings. I mean, you not only have to be a speed reader, but you have to be a speed thinker. And I'm just terribly impressed with the responsibilities of our city council and how well they perform them.
Thank you, Chuck. Okay, next question. Sandy, you'll be answering first. This is about city finances. Like all cities, Atascadero faces economic challenges. For California cities, we have the added burden of state taking millions from the cities in an attempt to balance their budget. In response, Atascadero has cut the budget by 20%, delayed projects, and conducted layoffs. Our budget is balanced and our financial condition is stable. However, the situation could either deteriorate or improve in the upcoming months. My question is twofold. If revenues drop further and further cuts are necessary, what type of programs or projects would you cut? And in reverse, if the revenues increase, what would be your recommendation of where to first allocate the funds that we receive? Sandy?
Okay. And it's particularly in this environment that we're facing with not only the state in financial trouble, but the federal government building on our debt on a daily basis. There's a real possibility that we could be faced with additional shortfalls in revenues. I think we have to start prioritizing the projects from the standpoint of a need basis versus a want basis. And the ones that are not used to support our daily activities and well-being are the ones that need to be prioritized and cut first. I think a complete analysis of all of the operations, each one of the managers and staff should reevaluate how they can best reallocate some of those resources within the city. It'll take a combined effort of staff, city council, and an understanding of the people in the community. It won't be fun. I've been through several serious reorganizations with Ford Motor Company, and when nobody's job is protected, and you have to tell somebody that they're at the end of the line and have to be let go, that's very difficult. On the other side of the coin, assuming, and I certainly hope this is the case, I would like to see, we have to attract additional business. We have to make better utilization of the money that we've got to attract new business. I don't have time here left to go into the details on it, but I do have a substantial plan on how to attract some of that money. Thank you.
Thank you, Sandy. Brian?
Yes, I believe that we have cut back to the bare bones at this point, and the city has done an outstanding job in reduced manpower and getting what is getting done and keeping the city running. We would definitely need to take a look at every operation, what we do, if there is any additional room, and if there is not, then we need to start looking at more projects. We need to start looking more beyond just, we need to keep this city running at the very minimum that we can. It's not something that it would be an easy decision to make. I don't want to lose jobs. I don't want to impact lives. It would have to be an approach of looking at where we are, what we're doing, how we do business, and what are we putting out for projects. The other thing is, if we have more money, I would love to see the twofold. I would like to see us get back. We're letting things go with the city. We're letting maintenance go. We're letting things that are actually going to come back to get us even more financially, more financial problems than what they are now if they were to go. Roofs, roads, infrastructure, those kind of things. But we really do need to bring dollars into this town. So it's a combination. I'd like to see our city infrastructure or the running of our city bolstered. I would like to see money put into bringing tourism in our businesses and bringing people in. It's not just the people here in Atascadero that spend money in Atascadero. It's bringing people from other areas into Atascadero. It's bringing that, not just us leaking, but bringing fund and other money here. So thank you.
Thanks, Brian. Brett?
Yeah, if this thing gets worse, we're going to be down to our very emergency and necessities at the bare bone. And if it gets better, and it's much more enjoyable spending extra money than it is making cuts by far. Possible extra things, we could start improving our maintenance around the city, like the roads and the, it's probably the biggest thing that's ever in everybody's mind. It's like to say, if you're generally you're happy with the city unless there's a pothole in front of your driveway, and if there's two or more, you kind of want it fixed now. You don't concern about how, when, and it's just to get it done. So that's it.
Thank you, Brett. Chuck?
Yes, thank you. Well, I may be old-fashioned, but as I've looked at the city's books, the city is running $1 million deficit every year. The way it's balancing the budget is they're taking money out of the reserve. And thank goodness we've had a very competent city manager who several years ago started building up this reserve fund. That reserve will last several years, and it's basically geared so that as the Walmart and Annex project comes aboard, and that's in the redevelopment zone, and that's going to bring in many, many hundreds of thousands of dollars in property tax and sales tax, and with that, the drawing down of the reserve will level out. And that's the plan. I think it's a good one. Now, what happens if the city runs into more deficit? Well, having run a corporation, I can tell you, it's amazing when you have to, how few people you can effectively run a business with when the chips are down. And if the chips ever get down, we just have to lay up some people, plain and simple. I've had to do it, and it's a very painful process. We have a wealth of volunteers in this community, particularly retired business people who are just gnashing at the bit to help the city, particularly in its redevelopment efforts and its economic development for bringing in corporations and businesses. So I would say we'd tap into that, not necessarily as a last resort, but just to keep the good programs going. Thank you.
Thank you, Chuck. Tom?
Well, thank you. You know, state takeaways are the thing that really bother me the most. That's why I've put a lot of my own time in with the League of California Cities. I've been a leader statewide. I was selected statewide by the League of California Cities to serve on a City PAC board, and I've worked with council members all over the state fighting those state takeaways because we need those funds for our own local schools and our local city. I also am pleased we've worked hard over the years to have solid reserves for our city. We've planned for downturns. We did not spend all of our money when times were good, like many cities did throughout the state. Our staff planned for this. The council supported that policy, and we are actually spending less of our reserves at a slower pace than we were afraid we would have to. So we are going to weather this storm, I believe, pretty darn good. economic development is our number one priority, because I've always focused on we need to make more money, because I don't like doing cuts. I've been an administrator in health care systems, and I've had to make tough cuts in the past when federal and state funding fell short. I know how painful that is. I also have worked in the private sector where I've had to suck it up and do with a lot less, and I know it can be done. What we've done with our city's budget is make sure we use what I learned in economics called the multiplier effect. We already make sure every dollar we spend is well used, because we make sure local contractors spend the money that we spend. We also have already done a forced choice prioritization, so we know what we have to cut in our city if we have to. And we're going to focus on keeping our sales tax dollars at home and bringing in more transient occupancy taxes our first priority. But the last thing we will cut is police and fire and emergency services. I can tell you that.
Thank you, Tom. Okay, now it would be time for rebuttal. Sandy, do you have any other additional comments?
Just a brief comment and a follow-up on one of Tom's with the multiplier effect and how there's a school bond issue that's coming up, and we need to look at the multiplier effect, because when you can take $1 million or $100 million and multiply that in form of jobs and wages in your city times six or seven times, it's a significant amount of money. So I would encourage everyone to keep that multiplier effect in mind. Thank you.
Thank you. Brian?
Just to reiterate how what a wonderful job that the city has done with the fact that we have money in reserves and we have projects going on, building projects going on when no one else does. And in this economic downturn, I just, once again, the city, the policies and the procedures have done a fantastic job. Thank you.
Thank you. Brett? Any additional comments?
Thank the Standard & Poor's for giving us an AA minus bond rating. That's something to work on and be thankful for. And maybe in a couple of years we'll have an AAA. Thank you.
Thank you, Brett. Chuck?
Yes, thank you. Just a brief comment. I want to compliment my colleague Tom O'Malley, because I've worked with him at some of the regional levels, and I can tell you he's fought like a tiger on these unfunded mandates and the takeaways, the grabs by the city, by the state for the city. And you ought to be complimented, and you've been very effective in that. And so, you know, it's very important that we all understand the economic implications, that we understand the time value of money. As I said, this is like a big corporation, and corporations can operate when they have to under tough times, and right now we're operating very effectively under tough times, and the staff and the council and the supporting groups are all to be congratulated, and I'm very proud to be part of it.
Thank you, Chuck. Tom?
Thank you, and thank you, Chuck. I do work at it. I want to follow up on Brent's comment. Yes, Standard & Poor's rated us AA-. It's one of the best in the state for a city. I don't really thank Standard & Poor's. I thank our city staff and our current elected city treasurer, Joe Modica, because we've got economic policies in place, a reserve policy in place, budget policy in place that has earned that rating by an independent outside auditing firm. And I think our whole city deserves a little round of applause for that rating. And thank you for bringing it up, Brent.
Thank you, Tom. Okay. Excuse me. Next question, retail development. Sorry. And this will be, Brian, you'll be answering first. Retail development. The city is constantly pursuing retail establishments to come to Atascadero. The question for you is, what type of retail development would you like to see in Atascadero, and what role should the city take in attracting new businesses?
Well, I'm in favor of having a Walmart in Atascadero, so that's one of them. But I am, there's... When it comes to the mix of businesses, it's very important. When it comes to a Colony Square or Galaxy Theaters coming in, restaurants are important. the mix of what we have and how it complements is something depending on how the mix that comes in. What I would like to see is us make our commercial zoning more attractive to businesses to come in. I'd like to remove restrictions, do some innovative zoning to be able to prepare properties so that it's more wide open for the allowed uses for that zoning. For instance, we could already get rid of the height restrictions across the street on the Hoff property. We could already abandon the road. That kind of an idea where we prepare, it looks attractive, so when the city is out, when they're at these seminars or the way they meet business, they can have some pre-done areas that would be attractive to a business to come in. So the type of business would be, it depends on the mix of what we have here. There's complementary businesses. With movies, there's pizza, and there's ice cream, and there's, in the downtown, we have retail, and we have just, it all depends. But I am for businesses here at Atascadero to not only, like I said, a new business, but I want the existing business as well to prosper. So thank you.
Thank you, Brian. Brett?
Yes, I think the city needs to do what it can to attract and encourage all types of economic development. It's whether it's a large Walmart or Kmart or a franchise business or a independent mom and pop type business, whether it's a home-based business at the low end, they all are part of our economy here and give us our unique quality of life.
Is that it?
That's it for
now. Okay, thank you. Chuck?
Yes, thank you. I'm getting a hoarse throat like you.
Sorry, it must be contagious.
But seriously, what attracts business? Well, what attracts iron? It's a magnet. The two magnets we have coming down the track are the Walmart project with the related annex project next to it and Colony Square over here. I talked a couple of years ago with Keith Mathias, who's one of the principals in the Rotman Group. And I asked him, why are we having problems attracting, you know, major restaurants and companies? And he said, well, number one, the city has a very bad anti-business attitude and image, well earned and well deserved. Well, I'm here to say that those bad old days ended about 2 years ago, and there's been a sea change. And not just buzzwords within this building, but the perception within the banking community. I'll give you a little example. A year ago, 2 years ago, there would never have been a consortium of three banks to help support the construction of this wonderful new movie theater. And with the success of that movie theater, I think the local community banking groups are going to have a great upwelling of confidence in investing money in this city. And when the banks want to invest money, companies will come and they will build here. We need to have a sustainability of shops and retail. There's no reason why anybody in this 30,000 community of ours needs to go outside to shop. We should be able to get it all here, and I think it's going to happen over the next couple of years, and I'm going to be here to watch it and hopefully participate in it.
Thank you, Chuck. Tom.
Well, this is really an exciting topic. It's what we need to start with. The sales tax loss for our community has been tough. Every time you drive over a pothole on your way to Paso Robles, you are making the problem worse in two ways. And it's that sales tax loss we've got to overcome. We need a balanced local economy with providing all the goods and services we use ourselves. That just makes sense for a sustainable economy. What we need to focus on in particular is doing the infrastructure that business needs. And we've done a lot of that. I've fought with that at a regional level on San Luis Council of Governments because I supported our friends Paso. We wanted that improved Highway 46 into our area because it brings visitors in. We worked on paving that road 101 and
from Margarita to Atascadero. We got the Lewis Avenue Bridge. We got the 41-101 overpass. Those infrastructure needs, as well as our streetscape, expanding parking, do the things that business needs so that their costs are reduced when they set up shop. I'm very pleased, too, that we've been involved in the market research. We know what companies want and what are looking for. We're trying to knock out those needs and be prepared. I'm very pleased that we've streamlined our permit process. I was an advocate for computerizing it when I first came on council a number of years, and staff has done a very good job. And again, don't take my word for it. We recently heard on KPRL the CEO of Paso Robles Chamber of Commerce said, Atascadero has done such a good job, we need to copy them. So I think with that, I say yes. Come on down and copy us, because we are energetic and we are going to be business friendly in Atascadero.
Thank you, Tom. Sandy.
As to the first part of your question, what type of business, I think we need a synergy of businesses. Just think. Convention center, performing arts center, a relocated library, downtown restaurants, pedestrian bridge, and a link to Stadium Park. I mean, it could be really an exciting place, and it, all it takes is laying out a plan for what type of business that you want to attract. I see the downtown as a vibrant entertainment and eating center, and Sunken Gardens, it all ties in. And as the property prices go up, the businesses around the Sunken Gardens will sell, and we'll get our additional cafes and things like that. As far as what role should the city take in attracting new business, I think the city should take a very active role, and I'm pleased to find out that Bob Kelly and Jim Lewis are attending the shopping center conference or convention down in San Diego, because that's what we need to be doing. We need to provide those people that are going out like that. We need to use RDA funds, which is redevelopment agency funds, which is where the majority of our money comes from. We need to provide plans that will allow them to entice business by helping write down certain costs to the businesses to attract them to our area. Thank you.
Thank you, Sandy. Okay, on that topic of retail development, any rebuttal comments? Brian?
Yes, just what I'm hearing from people I'm talking to is that Atascadero is business friendly, and if we have attractive commercial property and we are doing the infrastructure like Tom O'Malley had said, which we are, businesses will come. So, thank you.
Thank you. Brett?
I'll add that although we are business friendly, we need to encourage that to continue in the future. We all need to come concentrate on our common core values in this community and let the other surrounding communities and visitors and business people know about that, our common honesty, integrity, responsibility, and perseverance to work and get the job done and provide a valuable services and projects to our community and to those around us. Thank you.
Thank you, Brett. Chuck?
Yes. Sometimes we have to focus on the fact that corporations, big and small, decide to move to a city or a town because the CEO or the president wants to live there. And this is a great place to live. And I think the city needs to promote that, that this is a great place for people to work, economical houses, what have you. And right now, it's unfortunate we're in a tough business cycle, but we're going to come out of it. And the fact that I moved down here from Marin County, and I'll tell you, this is just a great place. And it's a great place to have small and medium-sized corporations, because I think the employees would like to live here. Certainly, their business executives would love to live here. And I think this should be encouraged, so I'm very optimistic.
Thank you. Tom?
Yes.
Well, we are business friendly, but you can always be more friendly in all of our relationships. I'm confident we're going to recover some lost ground on retail sales. That's why I'm putting my focus on tourism. I am a champion of regional tourism. When I served as chairperson of the Economic Vitality Corporation Board, we did a regional tourism study with a national expert, and I made sure Atascadero was included in that plan. And I also am proud to say we are a leader in our community. And I think Chuck is absolutely right. Lifestyle is what we have to offer. We have a great community with great venues for performing arts, for any number of activities. And I think that will be part of our economic engine, because transient occupancy tax brings in a lot more revenue than sales tax, and we want them both.
Thank you, Tom. Sandy?
Just a brief comment or two. We have made dramatic improvement towards being business friendly in the last couple of years, and I think we can go a lot further. The important thing is that we have to remain vigilant, because as you grow and as times get better, there's a tendency to add unnecessary complexity to the entire operation. It's just the nature of government. And so I think we need to be very vigilant that we don't overcomplicate doing business in Atascadero. Keep uncomplicating it. Thank you.
Thank you, Sandy. Okay. Next question, next topic is Eagle Ranch. And Brett, you'll be answering first. The general plan incorporates Eagle Ranch into the city's sphere of influence for eventual annexation. As a result, the city will have a significant influence on specifically what is going to be developed there. The question is, what type of development would you support, and what issues will need to be addressed? Brett?
Well, in the specific plan that's been going to be prepared, there's a request for both residential and commercial on the portion of the property that's included in the original 1914 colony plan. Exactly what it's going to look like, we don't know until it gets drawn up. That condition, it also includes parks and open space and probably a resort. It's important to keep our mind open and slowly bring it into part of Atascadero, because it helps address our future growth needs that will occur. And with our proper planning, it will become a nice part of the Atascadero. Okay.
Thank you, Brett. Chuck?
Yes. I was a little skeptical when I first heard about this annexation of the Eagle Ranch. But after the full presentation and after I did my schoolboy study on it, I came to realize that this is going to be a wonderful thing for the city. It will probably be the last frontier of the city. And if there was ever going to be, quote, the most desirable place to live in this whole Central Coast area, it would be to own a home in Eagle Ranch. The way it's been laid out, it's very environmentally sensitive. It's architecturally done very well. It's going to be almost a self-contained little community. There's going to be about 400 homes, and people say, oh, that's a lot, but, you know, we've got 30,000 people here. That's not going to just, you know, blow the wheels off the car. And there's going to be a visitor center. There's going to be a couple of very, very nice upscale small hotels that will serve as conference centers, bring people in from outside. And this is the kind of place that's going to attract corporations. They're going to come here for a meeting, maybe, and they're going to say, what a wonderful place to locate a branch office. So I think it's being well designed, and it's going to be an asset to the future of the city, and I support it, and I'm going to keep my eye on it. Thank you.
Thank you, Chuck. Tom?
Yes, Eagle Ranch is a phenomenal place. I remember my Boy Scout leader, Chuck Paddock, took us on a compass hike, and nowadays they just turn, you'd never get away with just turning a bunch of kids loose with compasses and topographical maps, and only half of us got lost. But it's a beautiful country to wander through, and that was something I wanted to make sure we had that opportunity for open public trails, and that was considered. It's a great historic location with much history. It was part of our original vision to be part of Atascadero. And the problem is like so many things done in that day, the lot specification was done as if it's just a flat piece of paper we laid a grid on. Those lots could be like this, like we have around Atascadero, and it's been a challenge to address that inability to plan with the sophisticated surveying that we can do nowadays. And I think this plan that they've submitted overcomes that. It's actually not creating any more lots than were already allowed. And you can't tell folks you can't build on an existing legal lot. So what they've done is clustered, reconfigured those lots to provide a very large amount of open space and trails and quite frankly, tourism attractions. So I think the planning was very good. And I know the planning was very good because we were complimented by my neighbor, David Broadwater. We had so many folks come out to the council meeting when we had an open process, and folks commented what a good job we did on processing it. My only concern I know is we've got to work on the transportation for existing residents. That's the only significant concern that came up, and we need to address that in our planning.
Thank you, Tom. Sandy?
I'm excited about it. I've had several conversations with one of the owners over the last 2 years, and I'm glad to see him come back at this time and to move the project forward. It'll be a low impact. It'll provide a lot of open space. It will provide a really an ambiance with the hotels, convention center, and that we currently do not have. And I believe that the owners will do the best, and they'll work with us as long as we don't work them too hard. What kind of issues to be addressed? I agree with Mr. O'Malley. Traffic is going to be the one issue that is going to it's got a lot of people concerned. So I think we have to really look at it, and I know we will, because every one of us here is sensitive to the traffic needs and the impact that a new development is going to have on existing neighborhoods. So, and then the trail usage. That'll be a real positive for those who like to walk, ride, and get out. And it'll be a challenge getting all the way through to the National Forest, but something will come out of this, and it'll be positive. Thank you.
Thank you, Sandy. Brian?
Yes, the Eagle Ranch project, actually, it's an outstanding project. It's probably the best project I've seen since I've been involved in city government, because they are going to do the environmental impact report at the same time as the planning is going on. So we are not going to be getting a plan and then do the environmental impact report and then have to mitigate problems. We're going to see the problems up front and they will take care of them as they plan the project, which is I'm very excited about that. The clustering of the homes, there's a tremendous amount of open space. If I remember, it was somewhere like 70% of the property, or there's a very large percentage is going to be open space with trails and the hotel near the back of the property would be very upscale, and no golf course. So that would be a very good use of the property there. The biggest concern I have is the traffic, is the in and out from the property, and the effect that's going to have on the surrounding neighbors. That came up in a meeting we had several years ago, and I think it was about a year and a half ago,
and they had mentioned, and people in San Rafael were very concerned about that, and I too am very concerned about that, because that's going to be quite an impact depending on how the roads are, how the ingress and egress is designed for that development. We need to look at that very carefully and be very sensitive to the people that live there and around Eagle Ranch, and to be able to keep the as much open space and feel as possible and not be a burden to the surrounding neighbors while they're developing it. Thank you.
Thank you, Brian. Now is the time for, excuse me, one-minute rebuttals if you have any additional comments. Brad?
No, I think we've covered it pretty well.
Okay. Chuck? Your microphone is not.
Here we go. One thing that wasn't mentioned that I think should be brought forth is over half of that area is still going to be maintained as a cattle ranch. And as far as visibility from Highway 101, I don't think it's going to change too much. And I will just echo what everyone else said.
Tom?
Well, half cattle ranch, I think the other half is open space. I don't know how they're building the houses, but they're doing a pretty darn good job. I want to put an emphasis, we will take care of the address the concerns of the neighborhood. That's something we have to do with any project. But I want to put an emphasis on the process we've gone through. Again, it was a highly praised process, and I think we've learned in Atascadero. We've had some tough times to go through some public process, and we've learned that we do more public hearings than I think any other city does. We want to be responsive. We televise every meeting we can, and I think having that kind of assures the public that we are fully considering the issues and still making a timely decision.
Thank you. Sandy?
I'll relinquish my minute.
Okay.
Thank you.
Brian?
Oh, just to reiterate, it's a wonderful project, and this time the process actually is not going to be, it's not cumbersome and it's not a problem. It actually is going to be an excellent process. It'll be an excellent project.
Okay, thank you. All right, how are you guys doing? Okay. Next question is on the topic of infrastructure. A couple of you mentioned it slightly a minute ago, but I'm going to ask a more detailed question. So infrastructure meaning roads or culverts, bridges, sewer system, things like that. What are Atascadero's infrastructure challenges that we currently are facing, and how would you recommend the city address them? And we'll start with Chuck.
Well, I think some of them are being addressed right now. You know, up to several months ago, just driving south, it was probably the worst patch of Highway 101 in the whole state. That's being repaved, and it certainly is pleasant. I can now actually hear my radio when it's on. The other thing is the interchange at Highway 41. That's coming to a successful conclusion. When a Walmart project comes aboard, but prior to that, the environmental impact study is going to address the infrastructure needs to support that project. And they'll be addressed by the Planning Commission and the City Council, and I'm sure the right thing will be done. With regard to the local roads, this is dependent on the general fund. And all the things coming down the track, the positive things, are going to improve that general fund, and I think there's going to be a high priority placed on fixing up the local roads. Now that we've got Highway 1 fixed up and the major interchange coming into the city, it's just a lot more pleasant driving here and coming into the city. So hopefully, with the streetscape projects, I think it'll work out just fine.
Thank you, Chuck. Tom.
Well, that's a tough issue because we just don't have enough money for roads, and there are a lot of issues with our roads. When I was appointed by the governor to the Regional Water Quality Control Board, a five-county region, one thing we struggle with and I realize is the biggest impact to our environment is from water runoff of roads, which almost invariably go right into our creeks. And unfortunately, there are often state highways, and it's very costly to address that. And
I've been a champion of implementing what's called low-impact design. I work with a number of cities to have some alternatives where Caltrans plans a little bit better on their highways to address that, to not cost shift when they're doing construction onto cities with highways coming through us. We have more miles of road than I think any other city. We got soils. I've got driveways on adobe soil. You know, it moves during the year. We had early development that made smaller roads and not up to current standards. We've addressed that in a number of ways. One, I took a lot of heat for it, but I supported full cost recovery from new development projects. That means when a project comes in and has an impact around any, whether it's increased needs for libraries or increased needs for road maintenance, whatever, we've calculated what the incremental cost is, and we make sure that marginal cost is recovered so that development projects carry their own weight. Of course, I've been an advocate for League of California Cities to stop the state takeaways, but again, being a president of the Regional Transportation Authority, I've fought to see alternative transportations. I think we can do better with that. We need to focus on everything I can do as president of SLOCAR to get more funds into our community, but also we need to focus on that sales tax and TOT revenue. We need more money to take care of our roads, and that's why economic development is our number one priority.
Thank you, Tom. Sandy?
Yes, and I'll echo the money issue because we have sewers, we have a lot of infrastructure that is going to have to be repaired and or replaced or extended. There's going to be some additional that's going to come online with the Walmart and the annex projects. And as Mr. O'Malley indicated, the marginal cost recovery will probably work out in that particular instance. One of my biggest concerns, though, is the lack of attention, and I understand why, but I know the residents in the area don't understand why. On the west side, I've driven out there. My house right now went through the 41 fire, and there is a lot of brush out there. And my concern right now is out in the Balboa, out in the San Fernando end of the Santa Lucia area, that there are people out there, if there is ever a major fire out in that area, the ingress and egress is going to be a nightmare because the roads aren't wide enough, one of the bridges is closed, three other bridges that are out there need to be repaired, and if one of those goes out, then there's a certain group of people that just can't get out and the fire engines can't get in. Thank you.
Thank you, Sandy. Brian?
Yes, we do have infrastructure problems, excuse me, and we are operating in a deficit. So at this point, there's not much we can do about roads. There's not much we can do about those kind of issues. The biggest concern I have is deferred maintenance when it comes to city hall or the city buildings and the city structures that we have. You know, in your own home, we take care of our homes and things like roofs and painting and plumbing and electrical and all the things that have to be done. We've had to let a lot of maintenance be deferred because of where we are, and that's probably one of my biggest concerns, of course, along with roads. Roads is, and that's everyone. You talk to anyone, they say, the roads in Atascadero need to be fixed. So roads are number one, and the city is my next biggest concern. And I'm very excited. There's hope on the horizon when it comes to, we have the Walmart project, we have Colony Square, which is going forward. The Rite Aid, we have things that are happening that we are going to increase there will be money coming in property tax, in sales tax, to the general budget where we can go ahead and have the money to take care of these issues. So it does come back to, economic drives everything. It drives our safety, it drives our the infrastructure, it drives everything that the city, how the city operates. Money is what it comes down to, so that's why my focus is economic growth.
Thank you, Brian. Brett.
I said we got two types of road issues. We got those Highway 101 and the 41, which are financed primarily by state money, which we've been blessed with the opportunity to see finished. And we got those inside the city, which are taken care of by city funds, which we don't have the money currently to fix. But in time, when the economy and we get more money, these will be fixed and make us much more friendlier to travel around town and produce more business for more funds to fix, keep the roads even better. Thank you.
Thank you, Brett. Okay, rebuttal comments? Chuck? No?
Only to reemphasize that, as I said earlier, this city's like a corporation. Roads is just one of the products that that corporation puts out. And when you're short of money, you just have to pull in. As was said earlier, you can't pull in fire, you can't pull in police. And you've cut back on staff to bare bones, and we've deferred maintenance on roads, and that's what cities have to do. So we just have to do the best we can. And when a project comes along, and I think it's incumbent on the city council, particularly the Walmart project is a good example, to stand firm and not to allow delays as we've seen in the past on projects like this. This project should have come on stream 3 years ago, and we would not have the problems we have today. So I think that's something that can be done and should be done.
Thank you, Chuck. Tom?
Good job, everyone.
No comments? Okay, very good. Thank you, Tom. Sandy?
Quick thing, and this comes from my stint on the Parks and Recreation Commission. I think we need to set up more specific reserve accounts as opposed to just kind of reserving through the general fund. That way, for example, when you run into problems, when you have, like we did out at Paloma Park, you have to replace, that money, replace equipment. That money has to come out of the general fund. Where in the reality, if we just reserved money for the parks, period, then that would not be impacted and would be easier to handle those particular items. So I'm for doing something like that. Thank you.
Thank you, Sandy. Mm-hmm. Brian?
Even though we do have these problems, and even though we are operating in a deficit, we still are poised for some awesome things to occur. And that is, in this downtime, to be able to be in that position is the city staff, the city council, that have done an outstanding job.
Thank you. Brett, any final comments?
Yeah, there's one highway we need to add to the list is our superhighway, the internet highway. In and out of this county is one of the quickest way in and out for information, and it's with the FCC is going to reallocate the bandwidth that was previously used by the TV stations, now available since they switched to digital, and that's another highway in and out of this city for our business. Thank you.
Thank you, Brett. Okay, next topic. Tom, you'll be the one answering first. The topic is Walmart. A few of you have mentioned it. The general plan designates the east side of Del Rio Road and El Camino Real intersection for a master planned retail commercial use. The City Council has economic development as their top priority. Question is, how does this project fit the city's economic development goals? Tom.
Well, thank you. You know, the first time I was elected mayor, I got to supervise the Walmart hearings. If I'm reelected, I'll be mayor next year. I will get to supervise the Walmart EIR. And of course, I'm the first one that gets the Walmart question.
Sorry about that.
That's all right. It's my fate in life. As much as folks associate me and the council, Jerry Clay and I were fighting just for the process to be honored,
I don't shop at big box stores myself. I look at everything independently, and I look at this as part of our general plan. We wanted to look at this from a cost-effective economic decision, and the fact is we need to provide something for everybody. I'd like a performing arts center. I'd like a whole lot of things. They all cost money. So I focus on, as my colleague Chuck Ward says, we got to make money first, and we've got to follow our general plan and our economic plan. And it calls for bringing our retail sales, the things that we buy in our community, to our home. And I think this Walmart project does it. It certainly stimulates related businesses. We've dealt with the infrastructure needs. That will be part of the process. And I emphasize we've got to go through the process. I was an advocate for going through the environmental impact report from the very beginning, much like Lynn Colomarino tried saying when he was running for city council. I said that all along. Go through the process is how you get the answers to your questions, you mitigate the problems, and you move forward. And I think it's time we went forward and implemented our economic development plans, which includes the development at Del Rio.
Thank you, Tom. Sandy.
Well, as I see it, the development at Del Rio is key to what happens next in Atascadero. With the full implementation and development of that particular area, it's our last opportunity to have a shopping area or a concentrated area that will allow us to generate the needed revenues to accomplish the things that we want to accomplish in the downtown area, because the downtown area, for what we want and what we're planning for, can't generate the revenues to sustain itself, so it needs assistance from other areas, and that's why the Del Rio development there of the Walmart and the Annex projects is so key to the survival and the going forward of this community and this city. So I think it fits, and I think it would be one heck of a kickstart to our future progress. Thank you.
Thank you, Sandy. Brian.
Yeah, I like to focus on when it comes to plans, because we have a plan, we have a general plan, and working that general plan is that's what the city council should be doing. That's what we should be doing as a city. Walmart, that Walmart development there in Del Rio is key. Like Sandy said, it is just when Walmart attracts other businesses as well. So Walmart, along with what else comes in, is an attraction on the north end of town. We have Colony Square with Galaxy Theaters, attracting in the central part of town. It brings people from out of our city into our city, foot traffic to our restaurants, to our stores. It spreads out the instead of us leaving, instead of our money leaving at Atascadero, we have other people bringing their money to us. So having it spreading that synergy out, or that momentum in two locations, is very exciting. And what else can come with that is even more exciting. So does it fit our economic goals? It meets and exceeds anything that we could ever that we could plan for. So we do need that money to be able to go forward. It's like Tom always says, you know, there's lots of things he wants to do, but you cannot do it without money. So there's nothing city council can do besides we need money to be able to pay for the projects that we would like to see go forward. And Walmart is a wonderful fit to be able to bring that money to the city. Thank you.
Thank you, Brian. Brett.
Yeah, the north end of town along El Camino Alto, where the Del Rio Walmart project is, to a lot of us, that's always been the natural direction for the downtown businesses to grow. And it's interesting that the most premium part of, only part of the town for that type of business is one of the last areas to be developed, and it's kind of like saving the best for last and building some real premium projects out there. The downtown, too, is the important part, but it's downtowns and communities are more of a showcase of the town and prized that way than a economic major source of income for the city. The larger Walmart project is both a positive for individuals and the city. Thank you.
Thank you, Brent. Chuck.
Yes. In my opening remarks about an hour or so ago, I indicated the most important step. I shouldn't wag my finger, but I just want to emphasize the most important step for achieving economic viability for the city is to stop the outflow of money. The first speech or talk I ever gave before the city council at a lectern over there, I grabbed that microphone, I went, I said, you know what that is? That's the sucking sound of millions of dollars every year flowing out of this community, north and south. This Walmart project single-handedly will stop that. And I think it's long overdue. And what council members can do and staff can do is whatever they can to prevent whatever parties are out there that would still want to stop it and slow it down, to stand firm and say, we need to go forward with this. And it's going to be a tremendous magnet for bringing in not only other retail places, but large restaurant chains, you know, the Outback Steakhouses, the Olive Gardens of the world. And once people stop having to leave this city to do their shopping, they're going to also visit other areas. I'm yet to meet one single business owner downtown that felt the Walmart project was going to be a threat to them. On the contrary, they thought it would increase foot traffic and more people coming into the town, and they're going to, and I think they're right.
Thank you, Chuck. Tom, do you have any rebuttal comments?
No.
Okay, thank you, Tom. Sandy.
Just a brief comment. While Walmart and the whole Del Rio project, in my mind, is key to what happens next to Atascadero, we still need to make sure that we're sensitive to the needs of those homeowners that live in the area and are going to be impacted, and to the best of our ability, without jeopardizing any project, we need to be see what we can do from a mitigation standpoint that allows a peaceful coexistence, if you will. Thank you.
Thank you, Sandy. Brian, any comments?
I just wanted to ask that let's work together as a community in the upcoming public hearing process for Walmart to make this a project that Atascadero can really be proud of.
Thank you. Brad? Any additional comments?
No, thanks.
Okay, thank you. Chuck? No, microphone, there you go.
When a Walmart is in a community, they pour a lot of money into local activities, Little League, veteran activities, what have you. I was involved with getting some grants from Walmart for the Veterans Memorial Foundation, and I was just amazed at what they do for communities. Once they're located in that community, and I think they're going to be a wonderful neighbor, and we're going to benefit more than just having a nice place to shop.
Thank you, Chuck. Okay, next question. Sandy, you'll be the one to answer first. The next topic is the California Green Building Codes. These are new California codes involving building practices and energy efficiency, and they go into effect next year. The city is in the process of developing a climate action plan to assist us with the goal of becoming a more energy efficient community. Question is, what steps do you feel the city should take to achieve this goal of becoming a more energy efficient community? Sandy?
I think, first of all, we need to make sure that the basis for whatever the benchmark measuring period is accurate. I know there have been some questions asked by some of our current city council people, and that I, reading the responses of some of those, I'm not sure that those, that we're getting a fair shake on that, and I think we need to do whatever we can to make sure that we maximize our concerns to those people that are doing the benchmarking for us. I think we then need to make, take the best advantage of whatever programs are available. And if we're mandated, we really don't have anything really that we can do about it. If it's a state mandate, because personally, I think we each need to do what we individually can to improve our climate and improve our environment. Some of the things that get mandated, and I'm not so sure I'll reserve judgment on the Green Building Code because I've been to a couple meetings, but those people that are writing these codes, they don't care what it costs to any of us. They don't care in the form of taxes, and some of this is just unnecessary regulation, and I oppose it. Thank you.
Thank you, Sandy. Brian.
I think it's very important that we are good stewards of the environment that we do have. And I also am concerned about the benchmarking of how these have come about and the process with the information of which that we're going to be making these bases. With that said, there are mandates that come down to us that we flat out cannot afford. The state mandates things to us, and we don't have the money to be able to pay for that or to initiate that, but yet we still have to do it. That's a very difficult place to be, because we here like to have control over what we, or the decisions we make, the way we run our city. We do need to be environmentally conscious. We also need to be fiscally responsible. And it does make it difficult when things are put upon individuals, or the city, individual homes as well, or whatever the case may be, where it's more money and more burden put upon. So I am for environmental stewardship. I just would like to do it in a manner that is, the community, the citizen friendly, I guess would be the best way to put it, so that we can make it a program that people understand, that people can afford if it's something that does cost money, or the city can afford if it does cost us something. But yet to do what we can, I'd like to see it more implemented in a manner where we can take it bit by bit, smaller pieces, be able to understand it, be able to understand the financing, and be able to make it work.
Thank you, Brian. Brett.
If it's a mandate, we really don't have any choice, like everyone said, but it's our job at the city level to make sure it can be done fiscally, responsibly, and affordably. It's also to make sure we can come up with a way to make sure it makes us friendly in a business climate and a positive attitude and not become a negative and drive out economic development and businesses and residences and make it a negative. So it's got to make it a positive somehow. Thank you.
Thank you, Brett. Chuck.
Yes. In the interest of time, I will spare you a lecture on my views on global warming and environmental extremism. I think these impinge on the property rights of everybody here. I've lived overseas probably 4 years. I've traveled around this world at least 2 times in each direction. I've lived in various parts of this country. I've traveled this country north and south. I don't think we have to apologize that somehow we are messing up the earth. We have the cleanest air, the most trees, the healthiest environment, and to think that a group that cares little for cost or just trying to get their own way is going to push these unfunded mandates down our throat, I think is just abusive. And I disagree with my colleagues. Yes, we can do something about it. We can slow it down, and we can make darn sure that whatever's coming down the track is absolutely necessary. Certain groups are fighting this, and I think we can join them. I don't think we just have to play dead in this. I get really worked up about it. And make no mistake, Al Fonzie sitting in the back of the room and I were the only two at an environmental conference a couple of months ago. And it was absolutely frightening to hear the stuff that's coming down on this city. It's going to change everybody's way of life. It's going to cost every property owner a great deal of money. And the city council is where you dig in on this. And if every city council digs in, this isn't being put on every city in the country. This is just being put on a few selective cities right in this county, and I think we need to slow it down and resist it where it's necessary.
Thank you, Chuck. Tom.
Complex topic. I hate to admit to my conservative friends, but when I was an economics major at UCSB, the emphasis was on natural resource and environmental economics. So it's been an interesting topic for me to follow. There are some contradictions in the rules that just make it tough. I've got a gas fire pit outside of our house that you can run 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. That's legal. I still don't know how I'm going to get a permit for replacing a heater inside a building, because that's very complex. So even though it kind of makes sense, there's some areas that there are some contradictory rules we could do better on. I've been chair of the Air Pollution Control District Board. It's been important to monitor how they monitor, and I think we can do better. As chair of the Council of Governments, we, all of the cities and the county, has joined together in doing a better job of distributing the costs associated with pollution problems, because there's an inordinate amount associated with vehicles, and that's the trip miles through our highways that is the biggest count, and it does work against us on our city that doesn't have its fair share of job, housing, shopping. And by the way, I would say that if you want to have the biggest impact on the environment, do better on a job, housing, shopping imbalance, because it's the trip miles that is the worst impact for our environment. I agree with my good friend Brian Sturdivant. Good stewards of the environment, it would be my goal. And I think we can do better. I have had a discussion with some of my friends that believe in global warming. Do you really care if I believe in it or not, if I agree on what we ought to do about it? I think we can focus on energy efficiency. We've done that at the city. There are things we can do. We need to focus on alternative transportation means. We're doing that. We're going to focus on that job, housing, shopping imbalance in our community. And, yes, let's be as energy efficient as we can. I think our city staff have done a very good job. There's some awards for this building for being energy efficient. I love solar energy. It's free. Thank you.
Thank you, Tom. Now for a rebuttal comment, Sandy.
Nothing's free. We pay for it every day. My biggest concern right here, and first of all, I'd like to acknowledge that I agree with a lot of Chuck's thoughts on it. We need to start pushing back. This is getting ridiculous. It's costing us money, and it's costing us jobs, and jobs are what it's all about. Look at what's happened in the recent economic downturn, and the cost-benefit takes so long to be realized that if everyone would do just a little part to work to make the environment better, then it would have a significant impact on the total without going to these extremes. Thank you.
Thank you, Sandy. Brian.
Now, the environmental issues that are coming against our city are only going to increase. And I say the most important thing is that we as a city remain in control and not be out of control when those things do come against us. We've got to be creative. I mean, let's face it, these are here to stay. They're going to be continuing. We have to find ways to be creative, to put our heads together. There's not any one answer on the council or here in the city staff. It's going to take all of us to put our heads together to figure out ways to be creative and to stay in control and meet these challenges.
Thank you, Brian. Brett, any additional comments?
Well, I just got to say, we're always going to take teamwork in the community and on the city level to meet these challenges. I will comment again on the Highway 41 East. Eventually, when that's done, it'll save a lot of travel time for people who have to work and live here and commute over to areas like Avondale for jobs. A significant savings there, which works in our favor. Thank you.
Thank you, Brett. Chuck.
I echo what Tom O'Malley said. If there is any air pollution in this city, and it's darn little, is caused by people outside the city going up and down Highway 101. And right now, there's very little that can be done about that. But again, I think we just need to dig in. And some of the best energy-related, energy-saving things for the home and what we can do are market-driven. They just make common sense. I'm a great believer in common sense and the market and the free enterprise system. I don't feel that legislating from the top is going to save the world. Maybe that's a sarcastic statement, but that's just the way I feel. We have a great city, we have a wonderful community, and we don't have to apologize for it. We are not messing up the earth, and we don't have to act like it.
Thank you, Chuck. Tom.
Are we doing the rebuttals?
You're doing rebuttals on the green building codes.
Okay.
Building code.
One quick comment. At a federal level, the fact is we could be more cost-effective if we could use our limited resources instead of doing that next increment of pollution in California where we do a pretty darn good job. You could actually go spend the money in other countries and have a greater impact on the world climate and the world ecology, and that would just be cost-benefit analysis. Unfortunately, we aren't allowed to do that. I would still focus on being a good steward in our environment. I think we can be self-sustainable. I love the way my dad built the house I grew up in with used materials. I've got a gray water system. I mulch. I do what I can as an individual. I think we can all... We can all do that.
Oops, you're broken. I guess you're done, Tom. Were you finished with your comments, though?
I guess I am now.
Okay. Okay, yes. It's a few minutes after 8 o'clock, and I do have probably, I could ask three more questions if everybody's up for that. It'll probably take another half hour or so. Is that all right with everybody? You guys up for that? A few more questions? Okay. Okay, next topic, and Brian, you'll be the one answering this question, is downtown revitalization. Over the last several years, the city and the redevelopment agency have accomplished many projects in the downtown, such as Sunken Gardens and Streetscape. The question is, what would you recommend as the city's next downtown project? Brian?
Well, the city has done an outstanding job in the revitalization of the downtown. The streetscape looks wonderful. There's many people that have commented on just how excellent a job that has been done. And I myself, I love to park down there and walk around and enjoy my time with the girls and family when we're down there. What I would like to see is there is a bond issue coming up that we're the bond issue I-10, and there is a possibility of there's been talk of a junior high moving. Now, the junior high is part of the general plan. That is part of the general plan, too, to have the junior high move out of the downtown. And to have the junior high move out would open up the downtown, would give a depth to the downtown, would open up the possibility for other business establishments and licensing venues to be able to be able to be in the downtown, because right now with a school there, it's not possible. So. I can envision a downtown with there's been the talk of a convention center. There's been talk of restaurants around the park. There's been talk of a footbridge across the creek, and just to make it an area where we can walk and be together as a community with family and enjoy. That's a real exciting idea, and I see the entire hinge of that being. When it comes to actually expanding would be the junior high moving. Now, Colony Square being built is very exciting to me. That is going to be a definite magnet to the downtown. It's going to bring a lot of foot traffic, and it's just going to be a very exciting time once that opens. I cannot wait. So I would like to see the junior high moved, and I would like to see the downtown expanded.
Thank you, Brian. Brett.
I think the downtown looks pretty nice as it is right now. We've done a lot, and it looks very nice. It's like people say that downtowns are our city's showcase more than an income raiser for the city. On the junior high issue, the junior high is a fantastic magnet, drawing in people into that downtown area. Every day the school's in session, and the students and others before and after bring in a lot of business to current businesses down there. That once it moves, that business trade is going to be gone, and we're going to have to think very closely about finding something equivalent or even better to draw in business.
Thank you, Brett.
Thank you.
Chuck?
Yes. There are two factors regarding downtown. One is bringing people into Atascadero. Every day, every week, every month, tens of thousands of cars go up and down Highway 101, and they don't even know this town exists. A while ago, when I was working on the Veterans Memorial Foundation, I gave a talk here, and I said, this town has two unique features. It has a zoo, and it has a world-class Veterans Memorial. There's thousands of people that would like to come and visit us. So part of the Purple Heart Trail project that I was involved in, we got these Purple Heart Trail signs up. My next project is working with Tom O'Malley, Caltrans, our new Senator Blakesley, to get directional signs. So those people bombing down the highway will say, oh my gosh, next exit, Veterans Memorial. And when people visit the zoo and the Veterans Memorial, they're going to visit the park. And they're going to say, wow, what a wonderful movie theater. We can visit the movie theater. Well, why don't we just stay overnight? So with a little thing like that, these are two unique features that no city around has. The other thing is that I've been pushing behind the scene to get a bowling and family entertainment center built in this town in one of our vacant buildings. The project's moving along. It would take too long to explain the whole thing, but this is something that will serve the youth and young families of this city, and I think that's important. So that all comes together.
Thank you,
and
Chuck.
It will.
Tom?
Well, I don't know if this mic is on, so we're good to go. Could we start the clock again?
Sure.
I think we're good to go here. I am excited about our downtown revitalization and what we've accomplished. When I first got on City Council some 8 years ago on our redevelopment agency, the rules were different. Most of what you see happen couldn't be done. I negotiated a change in the rules which required a supermajority vote on the council, which many said would never happen, but we accomplished it. That allowed us, through the redevelopment agency, to do most darn near everything in our downtown. We've just about completed our master plan, and it was actually a lot of work. I remember when it was controversial to redo Sunken Gardens. Can you believe that? That was our topic of discussion a number of years ago, and who would complain now? I think we need to keep moving forward. We've just about completed our master plan, but there's more we can do. I fully support the I-10. I think moving the Lewis Avenue School and developing, giving our town some depth, as Brian Sturvent said, he is exactly right on. I think Stadium Park is part of our downtown. I would like to see us expand. That's another venue where we can do events, and that's where I think we have a great potential in our community. Boutique event centers, we've kind of worn that term out, but my contrast is, do you really want to go to dusty old Paso Robles Fairgrounds, have a big experience of thousands and thousands of people, or do you want to go to Sunken Gardens, the Lake Park Zoo Memorial, Stadium Park? We've got some unique venues, and I would love to invest in what I call portable infrastructure. What if you have those nice porta-potties in a trailer, and the stage, and the dance floor, and the sound systems? It's all portable. We can't afford everything at every location, but we can afford to have them so they can move around to our different venues, and I think it would be a great selling point for our community.
Thank you, Tom. Sandy.
Okay. Number one, I agree the best thing that could happen to this city right now in the downtown area would be the moving of the junior high school. But that's going to take some time. Don't know how long. So in the meantime, we still have issues that we need to deal with. And the whole, the west side of El Camino Real from Traffic Way down to the creek needs to be dealt with. We have parking, and the Carlton is going to be reopening, and I don't care what anybody says. I've reviewed the parking studies and that. In certain areas, there will be some parking issues. Downtown restrooms is another possibility. I mean, for Stadium Park and everything else, and if we're going to have a pedestrian-friendly downtown area, then we need restrooms. I think that a better utilization of the redevelopment agency funds can accommodate some of this, maybe even to the extent where some of that money, when it's available, could be used to purchase some land and then develop a develop a master plan for that piece. And maybe even the redevelopment agency can be a partner in helping the school district do something, because the bond issue will be you know, a controversial subject at this point in time. So I think we have other projects that need to be addressed, and we should start there. Thank you.
Thank you, Sandy. Okay, rebuttal comments on downtown revitalization. Bren?
Yes, I forgot to mention the restoration of the historic, the old City Hall. I mean, how exciting is that? Along with expanding the downtown, the old City Hall being restored for our centennial, Colony Square, we have the Carlton's opening up. You know, that is just, it's exciting. And actually, there are two other things that I had on my mind was it was bathrooms downtown as well, and also Stadium Park. Stadium Park would be an awesome place for a venue for music, for people to come from out of our community to come into Atascadero to enjoy something, some type of music or an event or acting or like a theater or something along those lines. And with portable infrastructure, that is very, very doable. So that also is very exciting for the downtown.
Thank you, Brian. Brett, rebuttal comments.
It's the major thing that's dealing with the downtown is the vacancy issue and the empty lots, but those will be addressed eventually by private business when the appropriate business ideas and projects come along to fill those. And the Rotunda building, which we were recently like to call the City Hall, it's also historically, before we were incorporated, it was always referred to as the Veterans Memorial Building. And
30 seconds.
Let's not forget the veterans who served this country and who it was originally named for. Thank you.
Thank you, Brett. Chuck, any closing comments?
Yeah. A couple of things. What's going to really help the downtown area is when the library moves from the current location to one of the vacant buildings that's been vacant for years and years opposite the Bank of America parking lot. And I think that's going to be a reality. The other thing is the Galaxy Theater is going to be a magnet. I'll tell you why. A couple of weeks ago, I had a brief meeting with the chairman of Galaxy. He said, "What do you think the community wants?" I said, "Number one, don't have 7 screens dedicated to Batman 5. Dedicate a couple of screens to the independent films, the foreign films, the kind of films that many of us go down to the Palm Theater." I also suggested, since I felt I was on a roll, that a couple of weeks a year, we have a Veterans Week, or dedicate a couple of screens and show old World War I, World War II movies, linked together the old newsreels. One in every 4 households in this community is a veteran, and it will bring them in.
Thank you.
Rebuttals?
Yes, rebuttals on downtown revitalization.
Well, it's important to mention that our current City Council and Redevelopment Agency has already budgeted redevelopment money to address those priorities of parking and restrooms. That's a given. We've planned for them. We've budgeted for them. We already have money in the budget for land acquisition. We advocate for, we would love to do some master plans. When we had a little fire down the street, I was on the phone that weekend with our city manager, our executive director of Main Street. We helped businesses relocate using redevelopment funds, and we met with the property owners offering to do that very thing. We would like to support them. We would like to do master plan any time that we could offer that to help stimulate things moving forward. I think we will be there in the future because that is what the redevelopment agency is there for.
Thank you, Tom. Sandy, closing.
Yes, the redevelopment agency is there for that, and it is a tremendous tool, and it has a limited lifespan. I think we need to spend more time using the RDA, the Redevelopment Agency, the partnership with private enterprise so that we can multiply the impact and expedite the whole process. Thank you.
Thank you, Sandy. Okay, I'm going to ask one more question, and then there'll be closing comments. Last question. We've had a lot of discussions tonight on a lot of different issues, but I want you to tell me what specifically distinguishes you from your opponent. What makes you the most qualified candidate? Starting with Brett.
Well, a lot of us are quite gifted with talking skills and explaining the South. Others of us are blessed with the ability to listen and analyze the information, and it gives me a unique quality, my ability to listen to the community and what they want and what the community needs and what the staff's suggestions and reports and information, and to work as part of a team on a city of council of five. Also, I'm the one lone non-incumbent. We got three incumbent planning commissioners and one incumbent council member running for election. All incumbents of some type. If you want a new voice and new thoughts on the council, that's me, number five on the ballot. As they say, at the state and national level, the incumbents are not highly thought of right now. I'm the new voice. Thank you.
Thank you, Brett. Chuck.
Well, that question is easily answered. Background and experience. All my fellow candidates have their own backgrounds. I have my backgrounds. I think my background is different. 35 years in the international business community, starting a corporation from scratch. I know what it's like to start a business. It's difficult. 6 years in the Marine Corps. You learn something about leadership. You learn something about loyalty. You know, someone asked me the other day, what does Semper Fi mean? Well, I won't tell you. Afterwards, you can come up to me individually, and I'll explain it. I view things a little bit differently than the current members of the City Council based on my experience. An example of that is the vote I took on the second theater. I was the only member of the Planning Commission that thought there should be an economic evaluation, that we should not rush forward with this, and that we should just slow down, because I tried to explain as best I could that I viewed that second theater as jeopardizing the economic viability of the Colony Square project. And for the next several weeks, I did my 3-minute thing up here on every single council meeting to try and reinforce my view, and thank goodness at least that project has been slowed down a little bit. I think it would have been devastating to the Colony Square project. And that is one example of where someone with a different background and experience can make a difference on a city council.
Thank you, Chuck. Tom.
Well, I have a lot of education and experience. I always said, you know, a degree in economics, a degree in counseling, perfect for city council. You need the counseling more than the economics, I think. Being a licensed marriage and family therapist, you know, I try to work at consensus building, but I've been a top-level administrator in the public sector and in the private sector. I own a small homegrown business with my wife. We've been involved in the community. Brent mentioned about approval ratings for incumbents. Well, shoot, you know, the good news is I'm a big believer in local government, not faraway government, and all of the studies show most of you have a lot more confidence in us at the local level, almost in the 80% approval rating versus the faraway government folks out there at the federal level, 10%. That's because everywhere I go, post office, grocery store, you can find me. You know where I live. We can talk. We can take input. And I think that's important to have that interaction. But, you know, it's important to have more than listening skills and desire and willingness to even work hard. It helps to put in the time, as I've done, to be selected by my peer leaders around the county, to be the chair of the Economic Vitality Corporation, to be the chair of the Air Pollution Control District Board, to be the chair of the San Luis Obispo Council of Governments, where they make decisions about where the road money goes in this county with Caltrans. By being there and working hard for our community, it's made a difference to bring more money into our community, and that's important. I care about our community, and I will work hard for our community, and I will put in the time. And I've experienced going through a conditional use permit myself, and I tell you, these planning commissioners were as tough on me as anybody, and I kind of think they were just trying to keep me too busy to run for city council.
Thank you, Tom. Sandy.
I've been here 11 years, and I've come to love this town. I spent 3 years on the Parks and Recreation Commission, 3 years now on the Planning Commission. I think I understand what the city is made up of. I grew up in that kind of an environment. I've lived in a lot of different communities, both in California and around this country. I have learned a tremendous amount relative to leadership, marketing and sales skills. And that's what it's going to take. If you're going to bring a new business in here to spend money, and you need to be able to attract them, and you have to have the persistence to do that. I bring new ideas because I have, living around the country and traveling with Ford, I have some different ideas that I would bring to the city council because that would be the appropriate place to bring it when I have an opportunity to provide the leadership necessary to make those changes. I bring unencumbered thinking. What do I mean by unencumbered thinking? I'm from out of the area. Though I have developed a certain love for this community and understanding of what it is that makes this community what it is. So I definitely feel I'm the most qualified to be here, and I have no desire to be a long-term politician. I will do what is necessary to serve the public. Thank you,
Sandy. Brian.
Well, working for a living definitely gives me a different perspective because my job entails having to really think outside of the box. And in doing that in today's work environment, and especially the industry I'm in, I'm in the nuclear industry, it really makes you think, and it really makes you say, okay, well, just because of the way we used to do it doesn't mean that's how we're going to do it. There's other ways we have to be creative to be able to think outside the box sometimes. And with what we've got coming up against our city, we really need some people to think outside the box. I really care about people. I do listen. I do care about what people say. And I am bringing people together in this town. And that's very important to me because we are a community. It's not
one side, the other side, or one class of, you know, whether we're, you know, working, not working, younger, older. That's not it. We are a community. We are one community here in Atascadero, and it's very important to me that we together go forward. I do, like I said, I do bring a working family perspective. I have a very busy family, and I have people that thank me for representing them, because there's a lot of working families here in Atascadero. There's a lot of people that want to be involved, but it's difficult for them. So they appreciate having a voice from someone who understands what they're going through. So I am qualified to be on the city council. I am the most qualified here to be on the city council, just for those reasons. Thank you.
Thank you, Brian. Okay, let's see. Brett started that one. So any rebuttal comments on why you should be the best candidate? Brett?
Well, I got the, like I said, I have the new voice available, and I'm offer a fresh perspective and approach to the council, and we need to continue to keep Atascadero, our blue heaven, a little piece of heaven on the Central Coast, and we're going to do this through slowly growing our economy again and keep moving forward and not backward. I mean, it's easy for any one of us to look backward and talk about the things that have been done, but it's much more difficult to try to stand and look forward to what the future is and make our guesses and challenges and go in that direction. Thank you.
Thank you, Brett. Chuck?
Thank you. It was mentioned that one of the prime characteristics of being a good city council member is also being a good leader. Well, I put forward the fact that I was a Marine Corps officer. I can't think of any better training ground or any place where you can exercise leadership ability where it really counts. Secondly, I started a corporation. Started in my living room. Barbara can remember that. Ultimately moved to one room and then expanded into a multi-offices, several places all over the world. To be a managing director of a corporation you start takes a lot of leadership ability. And I think that leadership ability can be translated to the city council seat here. And that doesn't mean I'm going to boss people around or yell at them like we used to in the Marine Corps sometime. But to be a leader is to have good ideas, to follow through, and to get things done.
Thank you, Chuck. Tom.
Thank you. Well, Sandy says he has no desire to be a politician long term. Well, I have no desire to be a politician at all. My only aspiration is to someday be king of colony days. Now, I may not be the best choice as a candidate. I'm too busy being your city council person right now. And if you review my experience and my longevity in the community, and sure, I've had outside experience. I've lived on the Navajo Indian Reservation. I've been around the world a little bit myself. But I think hometown experience and local small business experience and raising your family here in town are very important.
Thank you, Tom. Sandy.
First of all, I'll turn on the mic.
Excellent.
I'll be a full-time councilman. And I know how to listen and work with others to achieve common goals. I've spent the last 6 years on different commissions with this city, and I think my record pretty well speaks for itself. I can work with people. I worked on Stadium Park with Marge Mackey for a year and a half on developing a plan to utilize that. And portables and all of those things, and we couldn't get the money to do a fire study. So I'm willing to do whatever is necessary to achieve the goals that the community wants. Thank you.
Thank you, Sandy. Brian.
Well, I too do not want to be a politician. I want to be a servant. I want to serve this community. And I realize that by working and serving, it is a sacrifice of time for me, but it's something that I'm willing to make. I currently use a lot of my time as a volunteer right now, and I'm going to just be reapportioning my time in what I do. But the time is very important to me that I give to the city. And like I said, it is a sacrifice. It's one that I'm willing to make. My family, we have talked about it. They are willing to share me. And it's something that is very important to me to be a servant and not a politician. Thank you.
Thank you, Brian. Okay, that's the end of those questions. Now the final will be your closing statement, and I'll put up on the screen here, maybe. Here we go, closing statements. Here again, I did tell the candidates ahead of time that they can say whatever they want for the 2 minutes, but I would like them, if possible, to try and address these two questions. If elected, how will you contribute to the council working together to build trust with the community? And if elected, how do you plan to represent all the citizens in Atascadero? And you're going to start with Chuck.
Oh, I thought it was going to be fast.
That's okay. Two minutes.
2 minutes, okay. I've worked with all the members of the city council and the staff, and we get along well together. We have a nice working relationship. I started with my work on the Veterans Memorial, and we got that done. A lot of firefights in this room, not with the city council. Worked with them on the Purple Heart Trail project. Also worked with the state assembly and the county, Caltrans. As a new member of the city council, I will vigorously, and I mean that seriously, represent and be open to all members of our communities, including veterans, young people, seniors, homeowners, renters, families challenged to raise kids during these troubled times, and all those who have struggled to start and maintain a business. Over the years, I've worn the shoes of each. And with your vote, I pledge to be a strong and independent voice on the city council for each and every one of you. My campaign slogan is just get it done. And with me, that's not a buzzword. It's been my way of life. And this is what I would do if I'm merit your vote and get a seat on the city council. Thank you very much. And this is a wonderful experience for me to be here tonight with you all.
Thank you, Chuck. Tom.
Well, sorry, I didn't have a chance to really prepare a statement. I've been working on other things, but I'll make one up quick here.
Okay, good.
When I first got on the city council, also within the first 3 months, I made a change that had never happened before. I advocated for and negotiated that each city council member would appoint their own planning commissioner. Doesn't sound like much, but it was always majority rule, majority take all, and you didn't have as much diversity on the planning commission. Now, I got some heat for that initially, but I think it opened up the doors for broader representation because I think diversity is a strength, and I practice what I preach about building consensus when I first ran for city council. Many things have happened since then, but I was on the committee to build public trust with Ellen Bayrou. We reached across the aisle, so to speak, and we worked together to do many things, including sponsor these very forums. We wanted to have you have a choice of candidates to choose from. Now, I've been active on the council. It's made a lot of changes in the last few years. We have expanded the internet access to information about the city. We were one of the first cities to publish campaign finance contributions, thanks to our city clerk, Marcia Torgerson. We were one of the first cities to publish all of the salary schedules for all of city staff. We've always had the budget and documents on for that for some time. And I want to, we were also the city that our council focused on having the meetings broadcast so that you can see that at home, and you're going to be seeing this a number of times at home. So I will continue to build consensus in our community, to be available to everyone in our community, and
bring your ideas. You can find us. Everyone up here cares about their community and wants to listen.
Thank you, Tom. Sandy.
First of all, I think my record on both the Parks and Recreation and Planning Commissions have demonstrated that I will listen to everyone. I will be open and accountable. I will do my homework, and I will respect everyone's right to their opinion. I respect others' ideas, and by listening, I often learn something new that sometimes influences my vote. I will bring my many experiences learned while working at Ford and find a way to positively apply them to our own issues and solutions. I'll bring new ideas on how to achieve positive results, and I'll be a full-time councilman. I will continue to represent everyone in Atascadero as I did when on both of the commissions. Above all, I will continue to do my best to represent everyone fairly with courtesy and understanding. I will bring new ideas and unencumbered thinking to the process. I will solicit advice from a personal advisory committee of community leaders made up of people who have knowledge and experience in areas that my skills and insight might not be as extensive, and I have already begun this process. If we listen and work together, we can all contribute to realizing our full potential and achieving the vision of Atascadero that I think we all have. Thank you, and I respectfully ask for your vote on November 2nd as your next city councilman. Thank you.
Thank you, Sandy. Brian.
For any working relationship to succeed, there must be, for any working relationships to succeed, there must be trust. And first, there has to be trust between the city council members. And I will build that trust by listening to my fellow council members, by understanding their position, and by treating them with respect. And secondly, there must be trust between the city council and city staff. And I will give clear direction, and I will be fair in my expectations of what I ask of the staff. And if there's any problems, whether I hear about it or the city council hears about it, we will go through chain of command to deal with that when it comes to issues with the staff. And third, there has to be a trust between the city government or the city council and the public. I will respectfully listen to what the public has to say. I will be fair, I will deliberate openly, and there will be no hidden agendas. If we work together in these areas, we will continue to build trust in this community, because trust is very important for getting the process and getting the work done in the city. I will represent all citizens, because that's what the city councilman does, represent every citizen in the city. And I will do that by listening and caring about what citizens have to say. We all have a stake in the success of Atascadero. And we need to find the common ground that we can build on together. No one person has the answer, but as we work together, that's where we're going to find those the decisions that are made are what's going to make our community better as we work together. And I see Atascadero as a community orchestra. I see us as many people, many talents, all coming together in unity for a common goal to really make something beautiful happen. And I ask that on November 2nd, you vote for Brian Sturdivant for Atascadero City Council. Thank you.
Thank you, Brian. Brett?
It has been said that when it comes down to it, each of us has one thing we can call our own, and that's our values. And once we sell those out, what have we got left? I won't sell my values out as a council member, and I won't ask others to sell theirs out either. But I'd rather hope we all can work toward our common co-values, including the one common characteristic we have is that Atascadero is excellent, and we will continue to make it an excellent place to live, work, and visit. While my background includes the education and business skills, and writing skills allow me to communicate with others and understand the business needs and the historical background of the city and where we came from in this county and where we're going in the future and continue to make it an excellent place to live and work and visit. I'm number 5 on the ballot, and go to the end and you'll find me there, the excellent candidate and the values. Thank you for voting on November 2nd. Amen.
Thank you, Brett. Okay, well, I want to first thank all of the candidates, council and the treasurer candidates, for coming tonight and going through this. I know that it's difficult, and I know everyone here and who's listening at home appreciates you taking the time to do that. I do just want some closing thoughts. I want the candidates to continue to keep your promises that you, when you sign this form that everyone has there, about conducting a fair and honest campaign. I appreciate the fact that everybody tonight was very professional and stuck with the issues, and that's exactly what the community would like to see. I'm glad to see that. And I want the voters to remember all of that, too, and to hold the candidates accountable for that, too. And, of course, everybody needs to remember to vote. That's absolutely for sure. So, again, I want to thank everybody for coming. Also, I don't know that there's any other forums taking place in the community. I do encourage other organizations to have forums. There are the other types of forums where you can have the people in the audience fill out the cards, whether it's the League of Women Voters or other organizations that can do that. So any organization that wants to do that, small or large, is encouraged to do that. I think the variety of forums is a welcome thing in the community. One last comment. The city is going to host one more forum at the end just before the election, and that's going to be on Thursday, October 28th at 6 p.m. It'll be here in this room. This is what we call the final word forum. We did this 2 years ago also for the first time. The purpose of the final word forum, it'll be much briefer. It won't be long like this. It's a time for the candidates basically to address any issues that might have come up during the election where maybe some misinformation was given out or there was some confusion about an issue or whatever, and it's their time to clarify those points at that time. They also can share any material that might have come up or something that they saw in the paper that they thought was inappropriate or whatever, anything about the election that they want to clarify. And then they also are given another opportunity to give some statements about themselves and why people should vote for them. So it would be, in fact, last year, I think it was less than an hour, or last election year, I mean. So it doesn't necessarily have to take a long time, but we do give the candidates that last opportunity. So I hope everybody can come for that also. Again, thank you very much, and good night.